Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Indian Cycling Podcast. We continue our conversation with Maxwell Trevor, the most decorated Indian track cyclist. In part 1, we talked about his beginnings and his success in the 1980s. If you haven't listened to it, I suggest you check it out. In this episode, we talk about the state of Indian cycling and his coaching philosophy. Let's take a listen.
So fast forwarding to the present, do you see now is the day of the leagues, you know, the Indian Premier League and the Kabaddi leagues and so on. So do you think something like that, Indian Cycling League could come and bring in more money to the system and help in popularizing the sport and getting more enthusiasm from the participants as well?
Yes, in fact, this is top on and it's in the pipeline already, the Indian Cycling League. They've already started negotiations and I think by the end of this year, they will start. But the only difference is that getting sponsors for cycling is a lot more difficult than getting sponsors for cricket or any other game. But I feel those are just initial problems. They will definitely overcome it, and I think cycling has a good future in India. Because even if you see today, there's a lot of change in the Cycling Federation of India, and they are the people who are trying to implement the cycling leagues and things like that. And if you see today's camps that the Cycling Federation runs, is a lot different from the camps that I attended in my days.
Okay.
So there is a lot of change. The Federation is working hard to taking this sport to the international level, and they've already achieved part of it by winning at the Asian and world level. And now we have Onkar Singh, who is the Asian General Secretary. He is also a part of the Indian Olympic Association. And he is doing a great job, I think.
Great. That is good news for the future.
So, there is also a different way of doing funding the sport, the way some wealthy individuals funded Gopi Chand for the badminton. And that seems to have some network effect of sorts, that now there are other people who want to do something similar. So that is one way to go, obviously, but that can help riders in one city. So is there a good system where this can happen across the country? Because there is vast, we are a vast country. It's probably not really practical to expect one city's institute to help every city's riders.
See, any individual or institution coming forward to help cycling or any other sport is definitely be an advantage to the sport. And cycling, I feel, today, cycling is kind of, has some status among other sports. But if you compare it to my time, during my time, a person who used a cycle was only the doodhwala, the paperwala. You know, and when you used a cycle, people thought, you know, that this is a kind of a cheap sport, and this is a kind of a sport of a lesser god kind of thing. But it was, I'll give you one example. We were in Punjab once, and this group of people came up to us in a village, and they asked us, what is the cost of the cycle? So we told them 20,000. It was a track cycle. They got so offended. And he said, "Na isko madgaad hai, na isko ganti hai, aur aapko hola bana rahe hai."
To be fair, that happens even today.
Hey, it happened this morning.
So, you know, they don't even have the basic idea of what a racing cycle is all about. So that concept we need to change, and that's what I said. You guys doing what you are doing now and conducting these races, and the bike affairs doing all that they are doing, I think this will make a big difference to our city. And I think you guys need to move on beyond our city. I think you need to start going to other cities and start doing this, and make it a kind of a national thing one day. I would be really proud to see you guys working at a national level rather than a city level.
Yeah, already there are a few others who are, we have also been inspired more from the racing scene in Bangalore. And Bangalore and Chennai seems to be doing good races. So that's already, at least in the south, is there. Even in Delhi, I think there are some sort of amateur races happening. So sir, I know so many of the boys whom you train and support as part of the Maxwell Trevor Cycling Academy ecosystem. So tell us a little bit about what you do in it and what is your vision for the same.
Yeah, the reason why I started the Maxwell Trevor Cycling Academy is, I would like to tell you that I grew up in a family, in a middle class family, and my father was the only earning member, and we were six children, and my parents, we were eight mouths to feed. It was a very difficult task, and it was a very difficult situation for me to get equipment and to, you know, my passion for the sport was a lot, but the means to get anything was very difficult.
Okay.
And growing up in a situation like that, I really know what a person who's passionate for cycling and when he cannot get what he basically needs, it's a horrible feeling.
Correct.
And that is the reason why I thought I could help these guys who are really passionate about the sport and don't have the means to do it. And of course, I cannot make my academy on a national level, I mean, compare it with a national camp. But what my real aim is to identify these talented youngsters who are really passionate about the game and don't have the real means to have the basics of the game, be it equipment, be it nutrition. My aim is to get them to qualify to go to the national camp.
Okay.
Once they qualify to go to the national camp, then they get all the facilities that are required there, and then they have all the opportunity to make it big from there because they have the facilities available. So right now I'm just focusing on getting all the youngsters to get into the national camp. So from there they will take it. And if these youngsters get jobs, now Pranay for one, when I went and met his parents asked me, what is the point in him doing cycling? Will he get a job? You know, they are very difficult questions to answer, but hopefully he will. I mean, if he wins the national medal in the under 18, the railways would take him, and either the army, the railways, now you have four or five real good institutions that will appoint cyclists, and you know, they give them a lot of facilities as well. So the basic role of Maxwell Trevor Cycling Academy is to pick up the underprivileged, enthusiastic cyclists and see what best I can do for them in terms of equipment, in terms of coaching, in terms of nutrition, in terms of giving them a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So basically now I'm blessed with a kind of a property where I can give, you know, about 8 or 10 people a place to stay with all the basic facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But the area that I'm facing it difficult is equipment and nutrition. Mm-hmm. So these are the areas, hopefully things will work out. And right now, if you see, there are three or four from the academy that are selected for the national camp.
Great.
One is Pranay, one is Pranav from Chennai.
Okay.
He was with us, now he's in the national camp. Tanish, of course, Tanish trained under me, but I didn't have the academy at that time. He is one. And there's one more guy, I think Pradeep, from all these youngsters are all part of the national camp. So I think for the start, which it's really motivating to see four or five youngsters in the national camp.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my aim, to see maximum number of youngsters get into the national camp.
So, like you were mentioning earlier, India is now having a world number one junior cyclist in ESO, and who's won a silver medal in the World Championships and gold in the Asian level. So, what do you think has worked well for India to have produced a person like ESO, and how do we replicate it?
I think there was a lot of effort put into all these guys because the Government of India and the Cycling Federation of India, they went on these talent search programs, and they actually went to the Andaman and Nicobar Islands in search of talent, and they identified these guys who never done cycling before. They basically got them to do some physical activities. Based on that, they identified them, and I think they done a great job.
Yeah.
These guys were identified long before they even sat on a cycle, and they were brought from the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. They were put in the camp, and you can see for now that they were right in the talent search.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of credit should go to the Cycling Federation of India for this.
Yeah, really. Sure. So who do you think are the Indian riders to watch in the future?
I think Esau is one, then David Beckham is one, and James is
one. His name is David Beckham?
Yeah.
Like actual David
Beckham.
I'm going to look up David Beckham immediately.
And sir has very very good things to say about him actually.
Oh.
So these are the guys, you know, I think you need to look out for in the near future. Besides them, there are many others as well. But in the recent few nationals, I think I've observed these guys who can really, who have the talent to push it ahead.
Yeah, and also like Aman is doing very well. And
Aman is doing really well, yeah. In fact, I was just talking about the campers. Aman is doing extremely well because considering he's doing his own training program,
mm-hmm.
and he's, you know, funding himself. And I think you need to look out for Aman as well. He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he will do great in the next nationals.
Yeah, and Aman is in the completely other side of, he is more like an Abhinav Mindra in the sense that he comes from a family which can actually support his cycling needs, and he has done more of these things outside of the typical ecosystem and done more training by himself, and he has made a big commitment. He was studying in the US, and then he is kind of taken a break and come back to India to take this full on. So
he's definitely one name to look out for.
So what do you think we need, is there any differences you see in the training and these talent identification for track and road races, because our success in road races has been much lesser than track internationally?
The reason for that is because we don't have training facilities on road. As I told you, even in the national camp, there is no, if the national camp is in Delhi and the riders have to train in Delhi on the road,
yeah.
I think they're not being helped in any way. The pollution in Delhi
yeah.
will literally kill them rather than improve them.
Yeah.
So we don't have the basic facilities for road training. Unless we have a different separate circuit for training, it's going to be extremely difficult because parents will not allow their children to take up road cycling. Even as a parent, I'm a cyclist myself, but looking at the traffic conditions, I think you're taking a very big risk. So I don't blame the parents. You know, who would want their son to ride a cycle in the midst of this kind of a traffic?
Mm-hmm.
So unless we work on something, or the government works on something that will you know, have a total isolated, segregated training circuit on road, till then you are not going to see real improvement, or you will not be able to compare it with a track improvement.
So, sir, I have a 6-year-old son. If I, as a parent, want him to take up cycling, irrespective of talent and physical attributes, what would be your advice, as a generic advice?
Yeah, at the age of 6 is an excellent age to bring him into cycling.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand one thing, at the age of 6, everything he does, it should be playful, it should be, you know, he should enjoy what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you give him a schedule that will bore him or be stressful for him, he's not going to like the sport. So you have to do things that, you have to observe what is he's getting interested in, what makes him, you know, happy, what makes him, then you have to deal with different children differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some children like group riding, some children like riding in between cones, some children like to just, you know, touch shoulder to shoulder or ride a slope. So what is exciting him? You basically do something, bring him to the game, let him enjoy himself on the cycle, as much as he can on the cycle. Forget about racing. And then you will see from there, as he keeps enjoying himself, doing what he wants on the cycle, you will see talent will automatically, you will be able to see which area he's good in, and which he's either good in road or track or short distance, long distance. But I encourage you, definitely bring him into cycling. It's a great sport. Forget the sport part of it. It's a great machine to ride. It will keep you physically fit. It is something that I consider one of the best sports in the world.
Yeah, so one of the things, if I may add to that, is you need to understand that cycle is a device, and cycling as a sport has got multiple facets. Like we talked about road cycling and track cycling, and that is not the end of it all. In the sense that, you know, we have mountain bike championships, we have BMX championships, we have BMX, mountain bike championships has so many categories. In track there are so many categories, in road there are so many categories. So like a time trialist is very different from a mass start specialist and so on. So one of the key things to keep the child interested would be to allow the child to experience different facets of it. And one place where you should probably take him to when you are, because you are in Hyderabad, is to take him to the pump track. It's called the Wall Ride Park on Appa Junction. So it's a BMX track wherein the concept is that you don't pedal much, but you use the momentum you can generate by pushing your front wheel down to go through the ups and downs of the circuit built. And Agassi, who's been doing very well, he just got onto the track because it just opened around the time he was getting into the sport, and he's doing very well now. So he is beating his coach now. In terms of the last year's Red Bull championships that happened, and they were doing this fun event wherein they were jumping over skateboards, and he actually beat Hamza, who is his coach. Oh. And who's probably 15 years senior to him. So yeah, I give him the variety that he wants. Sir, with respect to getting more kids involved in cycling, is there a more structured way we can do something to get them on board?
Yes, I personally feel that, you know, unless you get children from schools involved into cycling and make them aware of what cycling is, it's going to be very difficult for them to know or even about what a racing cycle is all about. You know, I've been to so many schools all over, and they have swimming pools, they have basketball courts, they have cricket grounds, but nobody really talks about cycling in these schools. I've been to some real big schools, and even there, they don't talk about cycling. There's no word of any kind of a cycling event. So I feel if we can get to these schools and organize some kind of events involving all the children, maybe girls, boys of all ages, and get them to participate in some kind of a races within the school premises, get them to have a feel of the saddle, and once, I'm very sure that once these kids get a feel of the saddle and get a feel of the machine that they are riding on, it's very difficult for them to not to try it again.
Correct.
You know, it's a kind of a, I call it, it's a kind of a real, a kind of a drug. Somebody gets to cycling and you ask him to leave after 6 months, it's very difficult for him.
True.
So these children have not experienced this kind of a racing or this kind of a saddle experience in a race. Probably they've been riding from school to home, or that's a different kind of a, when you're riding just for transportation, is a different kind of a thing when you're competing.
Yeah.
See, when you compete and win, and then you know, you know where you stand, and if you're not good, then you know that you can be better the next time. So all these thoughts will start coming into the kids' minds. They will want to win. They will keep asking you when is the next race. And this is the way I think that people, kids will want to come into the sport, and this will develop the sport. And not only that, this will be a great talent search area. You know, I am sure that there are many talented kids out there in all these schools.
True. Yeah.
It is just that they don't know about them talent, they talent themselves. And neither do we know about it because we can't see them. So we need to educate them about the talent they have themselves, and we need to go and identify that talent and work on it. And I'm telling you, we will see a lot of champions. I'm sure that even the city of Hyderabad, the schools in Hyderabad, we have a lot of talented champions out there, but it's just going unseen and unnoticed. So I think if you guys work in this area, we will see some great champions come out of Hyderabad.
Sure. I mean, let's take this as an open invitation for all parents out there, or people who have any connections in schools, reach out to us, and we will see how we can work together in probably having a competition, cycling competition, as part of the school sports day every year in whichever school you are associated with.
So, sir, what advice would you give to youngsters who are on developing the right attitude? Because we don't just want them to be good cyclists, we want them to be good, well-rounded individuals.
Yeah, very rightly said. I always say, if I put it this way, your attitude will determine your altitude. You know, if you have a good attitude, I am sure that you will definitely make it big, not only in sport, in any field.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel today that many youngsters are lacking the kind of attitude. I think their performance goes to their head, and that is a real bad thing, because you know, when you think that you're the only one who can do it out there, or when you think there's nobody better than you, I think that is your downfall. And so I normally stress a lot on attitude, and I keep trying to tell my boys training in the academy as well that you need to be humble, you need to be firm, you need to be humble. You need to respect other riders. You have to respect the game. If you cannot respect your game, if you cannot respect your cycle, if you cannot respect your fellow riders, there's nobody that you're going to respect. So, you know, you have to have that kind. You know, you should know where to draw the line. You should know, for everything you do, there is a line. You cannot go beyond that. Let it be joking, let it be. So, to get your discipline right, you have to start with the small things.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start working on small things, I can tell my riders, even you know, when you come back, putting your shoes in the right place, doing the small things. If you cannot do that, you will never be able to do the big things right. So, as you said, attitude and discipline is almost, they go parallel. So, if you discipline them, they will definitely cultivate a good attitude. And they should have an attitude, they should have the fighting spirit as well as a humble attitude. You know, when they get on the track or they get on the road, they should have this attitude where no, I'm not going to leave anyone kind of thing. But then that should not go to their head. They should not feel that, you know, I'm the best and the other riders around me are worth nothing. So I keep trying to tell these guys that sometimes it works and sometimes some people get it fast, some kids don't get it fast, so you keep telling them again and again. But I think that's a very important aspect. Attitude is a real important aspect.
So, sir, in fact, while we are coming today, we had an interesting discussion about coaching and the importance of the psychological aspect of coaching as against the technical aspect. I know that you bring a lot of importance to the psychological aspect, especially where, say, for example, when a rider is not doing very well, how do you after preparing very well for a race and things don't go well as expected, how do you work on the psyche of the rider?
See, you have to understand that not everything will work according to your plan always.
Yeah.
There will be times that they will not work, and that is the time that the rider needs you the most.
Correct.
That is the time the rider never ever try to demoralize him by telling him that you did not do well.
Correct.
You know, when you tell a rider that, you know, this is not what you done, this. You always tell him the positive points and tell him we'll work on the negative points. This went wrong, but don't worry, we'll work on it. That's the kind of attitude that a coach should have. This happened with Pasha in the last nationals. He was very demoralized because he had some expectation and he didn't get it. But you know, you have to motivate them. You appreciate all the good they do. Every good act, do not miss out on appreciating something good. Even the smallest act a rider does, make sure you appreciate it. And the wrong he does, discuss with him and tell him we will work on this and you will improve. Don't tell him that, you know, there's a new one. Don't ever give him a negative. Tell him that this is the area that you need to work on and I'm sure that you will improve. So I am a very positive person and it plays a big, if you speak positively,
yeah.
You cannot, I always say this, you cannot speak negatively and expect positive results. You cannot be a negative person and expecting positive results. You have to be positive in life.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful.
And let me tell you that although it is a man and machine involved, 60% is man and machine, 40% is your mind. If you think in your mind that you cannot win, you might as well not ride the race. You've lost before the start.
Yes.
So you have to have this attitude where no matter what I am going to try, I am going to win. Doesn't matter if I don't come first, but I'm going to give it my best. And that can only come when a coach or when a mentor keeps. It doesn't come just like that. You know, every human being has some kind of a negative thoughts. You need to work on that. You need to work in that area. Basically, what is a coach? I mean, there's no big deal being a coach. It is just that you tell the rider, this is right and that is wrong, and then you motivate him and encourage him and give him positive feedbacks. I think that's, there's no big deal. Anyone can be a coach if you do just the basics right. But the worst coach that I would see is a coach bringing out the negatives in a rider rather than the positives. Every rider will have negatives and positives. You appreciate the positives, talk more about the positives, and tell him that we'll work on the negatives, and you are the right person that you can, you know, solve these negative aspects as well. You have to motivate the rider at all times, mm-hmm. right from training. Even in training, if you don't motivate, you notice, you just don't talk to a rider for 2 days and see, and then you motivate, talk to another rider. You keep motivating, you see the difference in both the riders. I keep doing it. I keep experimenting these things, that's why I know. Sometimes I don't talk to one rider for 2 days, and I'm all the time talking, taking this rider aside. That's enough. You know, it plays such a big... Then I tell them. You know, then I switch it, then I go to this rider. So, you know, it plays a big, big difference. Your mind, it's basically your mind that controls everything.
I'm pretty sure... you also have to weigh in the individual as well, because exactly what you did may motivate somebody to do better if you ignore a particular athlete and a particular time.
Every individual is different. You have to work with every individual rider differently.
Correct.
Now, when I told you this, I was not generalizing. I was giving you one example, but one rider, what works for one rider will not work for either. Yeah. It's the job of the coach to identify what motivates which rider.
Correct. And the same practice may not work with the same rider under different scenarios.
Yes, sometimes, you know, different situations, you have to apply different tactics.
Yeah.
But one thing works for every rider, when you talk positively to them.
True.
This is a general thing, you have to talk positively to every rider, then you cannot talk negative to some rider and expect him to do positive things. Mm-hmm. So there is one general thing, that talking positive to all riders, dealing with each rider differently depending on the character and depending on the attitude and depending, each rider, every individual is different.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to deal differently, and that is the challenge for the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to find out what to tell which rider, how to motivate each rider.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that is a bigger challenge. Training, you know, you go on the net and you will see, you will know how to train.
Yeah.
What to do, what not to do, how to train. There are the world out there is full of it.
Yeah. Actually, the athletes themselves know.
Everyone know. Yeah. So that is not the challenging part. The challenging part is to identify the rider, to identify talent. One big thing is to identify talent, to motivate the rider, to see to learn the character of each rider and to motivate them differently. These are the challenges that a good coach will look into these areas. You know, most people think that coaching is the only thing for a coach. I think that's the last thing.
Yeah.
Even if you don't tell them, they will do it. They know, they will go on the net, they'll check it. They know what to do, they know most about what you're teaching them, what you learned is out there for anyone to learn.
Correct.
So everybody know that. But this is, nobody teaches you this. You have to learn this by yourself, because each rider is differently structured, different thinking, different mentality.
And this requires a lot of time as well.
Lot of time, you have to spend time with your riders.
Yeah.
If you don't spend time with your riders, and training is not all about pushing them, you have to have fun with them as well.
Correct.
You have to, coach is not, it's not like kind of a military leader where you just push them. You have to be like a friend and a coach. You have to come down to their level, you have to have a meal with them, you have to joke with them. You know, that's when you get out the best of them, and that's when you learn the character of the rider.
Correct.
If you don't associate with them, if you don't see the other side of them, the fun part of it, you will never learn the rider.
Okay. Cool.
So can you talk a little bit about your own experience, in the sense that you see the sport as an athlete and now you see it as a coach? What is the mindset difference here? Because there you are competing for yourself, here you are actually trying to help someone else. So where do you see the transition happening?
The mindset is the same. What I wanted to achieve then, I want my riders to achieve now. So it's very simple.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an Asian champion, I want my riders to be an Asian champion. It's just you're changing, you're putting somebody else in your place.
Mm-hmm.
A coach, see, a good rider, they can be a good coach who has never done cycling as well.
Yeah.
He will have a different way of thinking. But my way of thinking is, what I couldn't achieve as a cyclist, I would love my riders to achieve. And The reason, see, as a rider, there were times that I gave up. If it was not for my coach to push me, I would have given up in training, I would have given up in events.
Okay.
You know, there were times that I was totally demoralized, I was sick at times. I thought I won't. I'll give you one example about this. And if it was not for my coach to motivate me, I would never have done things I done and won medals in those days. So I know what it is to be a rider. I also know what it is to be a coach. So I think that's an advantage to me because I know how they think. At least I know basically how all riders think. I'll give you one example. It was 1981. It was the national track championship in Trivandrum, Kerala. And in those days, they used to have track championships on athletic tracks as well.
Oh my God.
They were all the wrong. So this was a 400 meter cinder athletic track. And we were doing the 1 kilometer time trial. And this was the men's. I was riding for the men's and the juniors. This was the, I took the start for the men category. And after the first lap, my bike skid and I had a real severe accident. The whole left side from my ankle till my shoulder was literally scraped off. And there was a part on my elbow that you could actually see the bone because the flesh was had come off and I was admitted in the hospital. And the doctor said that he has to be put in the intensive care unit and he cannot ride. And you know, there were a lot of restrictions put and I was a minor at that time. So they wanted my parents to sign some papers. My parents were here. There was no way I could contact them. There was no way I would even have told them that I had this kind of accident.
Mm-hmm.
So my, you know, while all this was going on, my coach told me tomorrow you have to ride. Tomorrow the junior under 18 and you have to ride. Till that point of time, I was not thinking of riding. You know, I was thinking of all these negative things. Once he told me you have to ride, my brain started thinking differently. I said, yes, I need to ride. Now the problem was that they were not allowing me out of the hospital. They said, you cannot go, there's no way you can go. There was a kind of a guard who used to lock the door in the night. The event was 6:30 next morning. So I was on the first floor in the ward. And my coach identified one window that was didn't have a grill. And there was some sand down there. So he identified, he said, 5:30 in the morning I'm coming here and I'm going to honk. You have to come on that window and jump into the sand, sit on my bike. We are going, you warm up and you will ride the juniors. I said, great. You won't believe that night I hardly slept. I was so motivated and wanting to ride the next day. Because my coach told me, everyone thinks you can't ride. I want you to prove to them that you can ride even in this condition. You know, it was a very simple thing he told me, but it motivated me so much. I said, yes, why not? So I actually jumped out of the window into the sand from the first floor. We sat on his bike, I came, I warmed up, and I clocked a better timing in the juniors than what the men clocked the previous day in the 1 kilometer. So these are the things, you know, if it was not for my coach, I would never have done it. So this is where a coach really plays a major role. My coach seen that there was no bones broken in my body.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that this is not going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, he probably seen all that and it was not dangerous to my life. Whereas the doctor seen it differently. And you know, I had to pin up my shorts right to the. I literally had to tie it because it was rubbing against all the wounds. And you know, the pain was there for a little while, but then when I was on the victory stand, and then you know, that took me into a different dimension. People started looking at me differently. You know, they thought, this is a great cyclist. You know, that's something like most people didn't do before.
Yeah.
And then again, I say if it was not for my coach, probably I would not have done it myself.
I'm sure you started looking at yourself also very differently.
Yes, and then I started looking, these are not things that can stop you from riding. If you break a bone, yes. I broke many bones, but the first thing on your mind is when you're getting on the saddle again. I'm sure you would have experienced the same thing when you broke your bone.
Yeah.
When am I going to get on the saddle again? That's the kind of feeling that comes in. And that is the passion that a cyclist has or anyone has for this game. You know, you want to get back onto the saddle as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. So, sir, we talked about positive influences, but maybe there is also a negative influence in sport in general. That I know this is slightly unpleasant topic, but should we be worried about doping in Indian cycling? Because I only bring this up because recently India lost an Olympic slot in wrestling because of a doping controversy.
Obviously, we should bring it up. It's a matter that every sport is dealing with, and cycling is no different. There is doping in cycling at all levels. And that is the reason why the Cycling Federation of India has taken stern action against anyone who is involved in doping. There were riders who were suspended earlier. There were riders who were suspended for a few years. And there are strict instructions from the Cycling Federation of India. There are strict instructions from the Sports Ministry and NADA not to indulge in these things, because it's not only cheating others, you're cheating yourself as well. Doping will never help you. Probably it will help you for the event, but in the long run, in the long term, it is definitely, you're cheating your body and you're definitely destroying yourself. And doping was never away from any sport, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Never away from any sport, never away from any country. It is how the federation and how the local government deals with it, is each one deals with it differently. I think we are very firm, the federation is very firm in dealing with this, and that's a positive sign. And it sent a message out after a few suspensions in the cycling circle that this is not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is doping, and they will be caught. I can tell you very positively, they may get away with it once. That also is difficult, but they are never going to get away with it for the second, third time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's something, you know, there's a banned substances list.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unless they find something, some substance that is not in the banned list and yet can be used, which normally happens, and then that has to be added again in the banned list.
Yep.
So this thing keeps going on. You know, there's some new substance that will be found and they'll take it, and then they identify that's added to the list. So this thing will practically go on. As much as coaches and riders are working, doctors are working in the doping area as well.
So I was reading up a few days ago, and I came across this wonderful explanation you gave about disc wheels versus normal wheels for track cycling. And our listeners are totally cycling nerds, and they would love to hear words like elliptical flattening of the spokes. So we want to hear it from you. Explain it.
Well, this is my personal view on this, and you know, as I earlier said, that during my time we used to go for the lightest wheels with the least number of spokes. There used to be 24 spokes, and that was the least number of spokes that I rode, 24 spokes. And when you're riding a 24 spoke wheel, if you actually sit and observe when a rider is taking a start, especially as a time trialist, you will actually see that the back wheel actually kind of changes shape. There's a lot of energy that you're using in flexing and bending your wheel rather than converting that into movement. Now, if you actually look at it from a very close angle, you will also be able to see it with the naked eye, that your wheel actually bends and flexes, kind of a thing. And in a disc wheel, that's not possible. In a disc wheel, all the amount of effort that you apply on the pedal is converted into movement. Well, as in a spoke wheel, I think there's a lot of energy that is applied on the pedal is not being converted into movement. You're using that energy in bending and flexing your wheel rather than converting it into movement. So this is my, and it also happens with sprinters. When a sprinter, you know, sprinters are huge guys, and they have a lot of strength, and you know, when they put a lot of pressure on the pedal and they're using spoke wheels, you will see that the wheel actually keeps going out of shape.
Yeah.
And anything for metal to bend or move, it needs energy.
Yeah.
So you're actually using your energy in bending and flexing metal rather than converting it into movement.
Correct.
So that is, I think, a big difference between a disc wheel and a spoke wheel.
Beautiful.
So that was this week's episode. A big thanks to Maxwell Trevor, sir, for talking to us.
We also have the Hyderabad Racing Circuit's Mass Start race coming up on the 14th April. There are multiple categories this time. You can find all the details on the Facebook page of the Hyderabad Racing Circuit.
As always, this is your host Harsha.
And this is Gokul signing off. And thank you very much, sir, for giving your valuable time. And you continue to inspire me every time I meet you. So it was great to know a few more things about you. And I'm sure that your circle of influence and the people you inspire will hopefully grow more through your words, through this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Gokul. Thank you, Harsha. And I must say that, you know, I really appreciate you guys. And and I hope that I can motivate the youngsters and bring them into cycling, because I believe that this is one of the best games. And as I earlier said, it's a combination between man and machine. And when you have a machine to play with, it's really great. It's a great feeling. And I invite you all to come and join me.
Thank you, Maxwell, sir. You can hear us on all popular podcast apps. Please review and rate the show. If you don't find us on a particular app, please let us know by mailing us at podcast@thebikeaffair.com. Do recommend the podcast to your friends. Give us your thoughts on what you would like us to cover. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.